Yes.
Those people God brings into our walk, and they watch us and notice and hear us, and we have that opportunity to demonstrate God to them.
May I just, because I've been sitting here for 10 minutes thinking this, and it comes all in there. Because I've heard so much of this, although some of it is new. And it is all valid, but it all gets to be up here. What I have never had is a situation where there's kind of like a role-playing thing or something. Is how do we take this and actually talk to people when there's an opportunity, brokenness or whatever, that truly has. Is there a way, this is a request, before this whole thing is done, to do, or maybe you plan, to do some type of a role-playing, or these are really common questions, and with all this material, ways that you can address it, because I have a hard time putting that down into, I love you, let me help you.
Yes. And that's part of where our thinking shifts, that it just becomes, it flows more naturally. It's not something, okay, let's see, he said this, so I need to.
And I understand that.
But I think.
And the last two sessions.
Yeah, I was going to say the last two sessions. If you looked at the schedule, I think the last couple sessions.
I didn't see that far
down.
That's
what we're doing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay,
and
I
it'll never
that,
be,
but I didn't know that that's what that was. Okay.
The statements will never be what the quote looks like.
I understand.
It'll be some twisted variant, but you've seen
but a way of how to deal with it.
Yes. Okay. And you've got to realize, where is the real objection? Are they flat rebellious and they're not going to listen to anything you say, and they're going to argue with everything you say? Well, then you just...
Well, that's where the Holy Spirit kind of
is. you move the subject off.
That's the Holy Spirit telling you.
And then, are there some people that just get so emotional and all this stuff?
Well,
that any attempt at reason just doesn't work, and so you deal with that. And very rarely is it just pure intellect. That's mostly in universities and around educational environments. So there's that kind of, I always love the classes where they teach me something, I could go home and work on it. Those are my favorite classes. So, let's see, where are we at? Oh, from the basic view of reality, we learn, we develop a certain way of thinking about things, how we know stuff. And then from that flows the whole ethics and values. And the ethics and values, if you start with God, you end up with one kind of economy, free market economy, that's been demonstrated over and over and over by Christian philosophers. You end up with free market economy. If you start in the nature, you end up with a control economy. So if we start with nature, we end up with control. Because if you think, everything in nature is controlled. The planets don't just meander wherever they feel like it. There are gravitational forces and pulls and velocities and masses all involved. And it's a very strict, confined path that they will take. Chemistry. Everything about nature is controlled. And so if you start with nature, you end up with control situations. Marxist, socialist, communist, all that stuff is control systems because it starts here. Fundamental principle of the kingdom of God is liberty. Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. People came to set the captives free. That whole system of liberty. Apart from God, there is no liberty. It all degenerates. Mind control, physical control. There's own principle, those who will not control themselves will be controlled externally. That's why we have jails. Our jail down here is building on a whole new wing.
Prospering, are they?
Every jail is building across the country. Because the more God is removed, And the zeroth law of government is self-control. And if you will not control yourself, then other authorities will be brought in. So this little kid screaming on the floor, and the mom, he's still doing that when he's 30, he's going to prison.
because they have no self-control.
Or the asylum.
So ethics flow out of that, what we view as important, which is on the bottom of that. Theory of right behavior. Why is abortion legal? Because it is consistent with this view of reality. We get rid of spare dogs and cats. Why not spare people? We start with the young, with the old, the infirm, the useless eaters, as the Nazis called them. And then little by little, that creeps into what does it mean to be less desirable.
Yeah, are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?
The lowest level of human troublemakers. What's valuable, what's important, what's good, what's beautiful? How can somebody make a painting of a jar of urine with a crucifix in it? Pushing the boundaries all the time, pushing the boundaries. What are rights? Duties? What are the limits of the possible and impossible? If there is no God, then miracles are impossible. All of our attempts to pray for miracles is just meaningless.
Coincidence is how they...
Coincidence.
Yeah.
Now, what is orthodoxy and what is heresy? Varies depending on what group you're in. An atheist who gets saved now is a heretic to the atheistic world. And they get blasted. And a lot of them don't convert because they live in it, especially in the academic world, because they know it's like becoming a Christian in a Muslim country. Probably won't cost you your life, but it will probably cost you your career. Mm-hmm. And all those books that you've been writing are all now wrong and you know it. Ego. All these letters after your name now are all based on a false way of thinking about things. So there's some really strong... well, Jesus said, yeah, count the cost. Because it might cost you a lot. Depending on who you are. What is sacred and what is blasphemous? A Chinese paleontologist once observed, in China, we can speak against Darwin, but not against the government. In America, you can speak against the government, but not against Darwin.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, homosexuality. That's blasphemy now.
Again, if once we this is the center of gravity, then, as one guy said, all things become permissible. But all this. And again, from a more demonic perspective, the more we can get human beings to defile themselves, the more God will have to exercise judgment at a time. Because all that has to be taken care of. And those who will not surrender to Jesus and have that washed away, we're moving out of this system to here, when this is now our center of gravity. The things that will happen out here don't affect us. We're immune. Like the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. That's a good touch. Because the fourth man was present.
You know, I think too, Michael, just maybe on a more practical standpoint, like you were asking, when somebody comes to faith and they're making that shift, to understand the dilemma that they're in, I mean, yes, God renews their mind, but there's also a process of, there's a lot of stuff they're having to let go of. Mm. And it's really, they're on board. Initially, as you're trying to teach them correct doctrine and how to look at things, there's a time where it's really tough for them.
Yeah.
And we need to be gentle and train and teach and
patient.
Yeah. Because
they're going to get it wrong more often than they
get it. Yeah, because they've been so ensconced in that for a lifetime. Yes. That's a hard leap. Mm.
Yeah.
That's why I really enjoy working with people in addiction, because, you know, a lot of them are atheists, and their entire way of looking at life is now in crumbs and shatters because their life isn't working. Mm-hmm. And it's the one time when they're actually vulnerable
Yes.
and open. And it's a great opportunity, you know, because they're actually willing to listen because of the wreckage that their life is. And so I find that, that apologetics is the most powerful tool at that point, just because they're finally willing to listen.
Yeah, and I think it's important for us to realize that somebody's just been completely deconstructed, and they're laying on the floor in pieces. But now we can begin to put the pieces together in the right way.
That's right. It takes time.
The blind,
even recovering addict, it takes time. They fall.
Years.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all apologetic moments, because we're part of the thing I dislike about apologetics is it has become almost exclusively an intellectual pursuit, but it's really a whole person pursuit, because there's stuff that applies to whatever level or place of damage that there is in somebody's life. A pastor whose wife runs off with somebody and now the whole church is in shambles. Just heartbreaking. And to begin to pull those pieces back in. What do we know for sure? What is it that we know absolutely? And sometimes that knowing absolutely is deeply personal. By example, kiss from your wife. It's absolutely certain. Affection, love, tenderness. But how would you explain that to somebody else? It's absolutely certain and true, but I can't communicate it in a way that you could understand it unless you also have some kind of similar experience. So there's those facets that come into play with love. If I can't convince somebody intellectually, well, then it's just not true. As Bertrand Russell, he said, what science can't teach us, man can't know. But that's consistent with this view of reality. But they can't explain all of these AIIUs, beauty, love, justice, all the things that we pursue, numbers. They can't explain it. Doesn't keep him from using it. And the atheist professor will go home and kiss his wife and kids and tuck them in bed and, you know.
Well, it's interesting because they've all had aesthetic experiences.
Yes.
You know, a piece of music that moves them or sunset or something. But yet they can't acknowledge that. Or yeah, they just don't go there. We're at about 2.5 minutes.
Okay. And look over this standard for standards, which is in the lower right-hand corner, very quickly. When people are talking about stuff, are they arbitrary, just kind of making stuff up? Variety of things there, inconsistent. Consequences. If I believe this and act on it, where are we going to end up? Oh, everybody should be able to do whatever they want. Really? Basically, nobody can live that way, but it sounds good throwing it out there. The preconditions for intelligibility just means what makes things meaningful. Where does this meaning come from? And then got some examples that are done. So next week, I'm going to start talking about the transcendental apologetics. I'll do the myth of neutrality. There's no such thing as a neutral philosophical position. It's impossible. Everybody believes something and brings that to the table before they ever even start.
We're watching that in our political process today.
Yeah. Pretend the pretense of neutrality. We're going to be objective, but we've already decided the outcome. Okay. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent the Spirit of Truth that we might know the certainties of the things that are true, and that we could increasingly align our lives to those things. We thank you for your Son. We're celebrating his birth this week in Jesus. Amen. thank you so much that you came, that you went through what you went through to give us the life to be seated in the heavenlies in Christ. What an awesome thing. What a generous thing. We bless your name. And the Holy Spirit has overshadowed people, overshadowed the service today. And just bring that, the presence of Almighty God in and among the people. And we bless you. Thank you all in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Michael.